Just this morning, Health Minister Joe Pachler announced that South Africa is exiting its fourth wave of COVID-19.
We can now say officially that Gauteng has technically exited the fourth wave this week. And all other provinces have reached their peaks. All eight provinces have reached their peaks and are now on a decline.
This also coincides with reports from renowned experts such as epidemiologist Professor Salim Abdul Karim, who believes the worst of the variants could also very well be over. This is all encouraging news, to be sure. But an area of the pandemic which is likely to be the next global hurdle and which has not received its due attention has definitely been that of long COVID. With a 94% recovery rate in South Africa, many South Africans can now boast that they have beaten the virus. Yet, studies show that between 25 to 30% of all of those recovered will continue to suffer with what has been deemed long COVID.
So long COVID is a disease with persistent symptoms that have not cleared up after you have had acute COVID, but now are in the stage where you are not infective anymore. So the WHO initially said this period is 2 months, but now they changed it to 3 months after initial identification of acute COVID in the patient.
That was Professor Risia Pretorius, the head of physiological science at Stellenbosch University. Her and her team have been studying long COVID since 2020. She explains that global studies show that over 100 million people currently suffer from long COVID. But given that it is not considered as lethal as acute COVID-19, it has not been seen as being a pressing issue in the battle against the pandemic. But Pretorius explains that brushing aside long COVID may be a mistake.
Because the symptoms vary so much, there will be a percentage of individuals in South Africa that are so sick that they will not be able to work again. And some of the other patients that we have seen and blood we studied and talked about, and also on the long COVID registry, it seemed that some are so sick that they do work, but they are functioning just at a fraction of what they functioned previously. So all of these symptoms will eventually affect our South African and our global economy significantly.
So we've asked Pretorius to help us better understand long COVID. We know that it's the perseverance of COVID-19 symptoms once a person is no longer contagious.
The main symptoms are brain fog, concentration issues, sudden bouts of shortness of breath or a pressure on their lungs. Many people complain of these sore muscles, but also the flesh and all the extremities. And then there are way out symptoms, like you mentioned, people complaining of hair loss, of brittle hair, brittle nails, really strange symptoms that people complain of.
But there is no existing method for diagnosing it, so many people simply accept that they're struggling and try to continue with their day-to-day lives. We ask Pretorius to explain what causes long COVID and why it can't be diagnosed. She said that to begin, we will need to understand that acute COVID-19 is not only a lung disease, but actually significantly affects the blood flow and blood clotting systems. The study that Pretorius and her team has been undertaking shows that there are significant microclot formations in the blood of both acute COVID-19 sufferers and long COVID patients. She also explains that while blood clotting is normal, for instance, when you cut your finger, the body is usually able to break down the clot efficiently.
We found that trapped inside the long COVID patient and acute COVID patients, there are significant numbers of inflammatory molecules. And one of the molecules that we found was a molecule called alpha-2 antiplasmin. And that molecule prevents clots from breakdown. So then we discovered the reason why it seems that the clots do not break down and become persistent. Usually all the tests come back normal, although the patients are really very, very sick. And it is not only in South Africa, it's globally. That's one of the main complaints, that there's currently not a sufficient marker of long COVID. So in our research, then we discovered the reason why all the tests come back as within the normal ranges. And the reason why is because all the inflammatory markers are trapped inside the clots, and the pathology labs usually test the soluble part of the plasma to look for the inflammatory markers. So we believe that the marker of long COVID is actually the presence of microclots in circulation. So when you have got trapped microclots in your blood system that do not break down properly, you have a constant damage to your endothelial layers. That's the inside of your blood vessels. And the damage is systemically, it's everywhere, because the microclots are everywhere in circulation. The issue with these microclots is that they, when they go into the fine little blood vessels called capillaries, they can actually block the capillaries so that your cells of your organs, of your muscles, of your brain actually do not get enough oxygen. So all of these symptoms that people are complaining about can be traced back to a general oxygen deprivation. So they suddenly feel they cannot walk up a set of stairs, their muscles ache. The muscles do not get enough oxygen. So one can all trace the symptoms that people complain about back to an oxygen deprivation state related to these microclots in circulation.
So if you've supposedly overcome COVID-19, but you found that you're still suffering with some of these symptoms, you now know exactly why, thanks to the work done by Pretorius and her team. Unfortunately, though, an affordable and feasible diagnostic method is not yet available, nor do we know why some people suffer from long COVID, but others don't. Pretorius says that their team is hoping to use this research to develop a diagnostic method so that people can be given a firm diagnosis. They also hope to help set up clinical trials to see if they can start developing a proper treatment.
We are currently working also with a group of researchers in the USA, the UK, and also in Thailand to set up clinical trials to try to see if a triple therapy where we could break down prevent the clots from forming so that the body can take over its own processes to break down the clots, and also therapy where we can calm down the platelets. Because both of these entities, the microclots and the hyperactivated platelets that are involved in clotting, cause the damage to the endothelial layers. So if we could block both of those pathways, we do believe that we could block the symptoms as well, and we can have recovery. The important fact actually that we need to keep in mind is that for this to be used widely, we need proper clinical trial data. Unfortunately, in South Africa, there are not any plans to do clinical trials on such therapies, but there are some of our collaborating clinicians that do use such a therapy with great successes. But in that cases where they use such therapy, they follow the patients very closely that they don't go into bleeding, and first of all, to try to identify the patients very well so that they do not have a bleeding propensity and that they indeed do have microclots in circulation. So they use a method that we call best clinical practice, and they treat the symptoms that is right in front of them. So it's not a blanket treatment for there you go, you just buy whatever over the counter and you get treated. It is currently only best clinical practice methodologies that some clinicians use, But we definitely need wider studies, trials to determine which patients can get it, which patients definitely will not be able to get it, and what are the dosages for long COVID. So clinical trials central to what needs to be done.
Some sufferers of long COVID are so ill that they can't even work. Some of them take a few steps and run out of breath. There may potentially also be elevated risks of these people having strokes and heart attacks. Pretorius explains that in an ideal world, where her and her team might have the ideal funding and permissions to conduct trials and the ideal equipment that they might need, they could efficiently develop a treatment for long COVID within 1 to 2 years. Unfortunately, to date, the main focus of South Africa's healthcare professionals has been for caring for acute COVID-19 patients in hospitals. Very little attention has been given to the severely ill and sometimes even disabled people that just never recover from the persistent symptoms. This is an ongoing story that we will continue to monitor in the hopes that more developments are made. A special thanks to all of those involved in the research that led to this story, including Marie Flock, Chantal Fenter, Yaku Lobsha, Johan Lorenz, and Douglas B. Kell, who have all been instrumental in the research which has led to our greater understanding of long COVID. For Times Live in the News, I've been Paige Muller.